These days, the government seems to have stars in its eyes when it looks west. Silicon Valley is a favorite recruiting ground for the Obama administration. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson wants to establish a satellite office there. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the department needs the help of tech players in a true innovation ecosystem, and he names Silicon Valley. But what makes those startups superior to those right here in the nation's capital? After all, the startup environment here is tailored to the federal customer. Michael Daniels has founded several local companies. He's the chairman of Invincia and of the Logistics Management Institute. He joins me now to try and answer that question. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this love affair between D.C. and Silicon Valley seems to be one way. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, it's a great question, Tom. I think that the Department of Defense, from time to time over the 30 or 40 years I've worked between Silicon Valley and the Washington tech industry, seems to get very interested in Silicon Valley and thinks that they have something that we don't hear in Washington.
Okay, so what do we have here in Washington? Almost every major federal contractor was a startup locally. What about the venture capital? Is it somehow a different flavor out there versus what's available for startups here?
It is a different flavor, Tom. It's always been that way. Silicon Valley's been focused on the next big thing, or making a lot of money, and that's always what it's been about. Back here in Washington, we've been a technology center that has great talent, has lots of innovation, and really has not been focused on the next big thing or making lots and lots of money. It's been a much more conservative, but great innovative place for the federal government and for other technologies.
So that caution, is that something that is on the part of the money that funds startups here, or is it also on the part of the people that are operating and deciding to start companies?
I think both, Tom. The history back here has been not so high risk and high reward. There's certainly been some of that over time, but this has been a less risky, more long-term technology-type center and the types of things we've built here over many years versus Silicon Valley.
Because here, if someone fails in business, they kind of get a black mark on their record, whereas out there, failure in startups or loss of the company after a startup can actually enhance your resume, it seems.
It's always been that way. I've never seen it any different over 30 years, Tom. I think that the failure part is a big deal in Silicon Valley. Lots of people fail two or three times, and then they hit it big. Back here in Washington, we have been that way. It's not been a good thing to fail, so people have been less risky about what they've done and what they've invested in.
All right, so let's talk about the innovation itself. I mean, I guess it's also true, and you can confirm this and maybe elaborate on the fact that many of the Silicon Valley, at least originally when it was silicon as much as software, that is chips and semiconductors, those startups were often in relation to a federal requirement, a military requirement.
That's exactly right. If you go back and look at history, Tom, there isn't any questions. I mean, the book that Bob Beister, who was a founder of SAIC, and I wrote, which was called Names, Numbers, and Network Solutions, The Monetization of the Internet. When I bought Network Solutions in 1995, that was a great example. There are lots of them. DARPA is the classic example, of course, with all of the technologies that have come out of there over many, many years. Most of the, a number of the big ideas that Silicon Valley has really pounced on over the years originally came out of the federal government, and especially out of DARPA.
I mean, for a long time, computer applications, networking, and all of those technologies were really industrial goods or business goods. And now we've seen the consumerization of IT, and a lot of that is coming out of Silicon Valley. And the administration wants digital services, and they want a commercial-like experience for people using federal agency applications. So could that be the reason now for this being enamored of Silicon Valley, because of Facebook and Twitter and some of the recent innovations that really are far removed from the Valley's original sources?
Oh, I think that's part of it, Tom. But I think that over time, We have seen instances where the Department of Defense and a few other federal agencies, but primarily DOD, they've gotten enamored of what goes on in Silicon Valley. And I think the real difference to me has always been there's a real cultural difference between Silicon Valley and what they're focused on. Like I said, the next big thing or making billions and billions of dollars, where here in the Washington area, this has been a situation where we've been focused on how do you build long-term viable systems that are really industrial strength and are really the kind of systems that very large enterprises need. Certainly the Valley's done that, but there's such a focus there on commercialization and the consumer, and some of those things are great, but others really don't work well in the federal space. That's certainly what I've seen over time.
All right, so as federal officials traipse out there, Ash Carter and a lot of people lower than that level, what is the real value you feel they can gain from Silicon Valley? What can they learn there that's useful for federal contracting and federal development?
Oh, I think probably a lot of the innovative things that come out of Silicon Valley, Tom, it's certainly always worth looking at. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big supporter of Silicon Valley. I've sold two companies from the Washington area to Silicon Valley companies. I've served on boards in Silicon Valley. I love Silicon Valley, and I love the Washington tech community, but it's just a different mindset, and there's very little focus in the Valley for the most part in the business community on helping the federal government or understanding the real needs and how the federal government and especially the procurement system works. There's a big difference.
We're speaking with Mike Daniels. He's chairman of Invincia and also of the Logistics Management Institute. So it might be less a matter of learning from Silicon Valley than teaching it how it can grow if it focuses more on federal requirements.
Yeah, and most of Silicon Valley, Tom, has never been focused on the federal government. Most of the executives who I have certainly known over the years who've started companies in the Valley, most of those people have never had any federal experience. They didn't work for the federal government. They didn't come out of the military. Most of our leadership, certainly for many years, that have started technology companies here and focused on the government, had some real understanding. They'd come out of the federal government. They'd come out of the military. They understood procurement policies and practices of the federal government. There was very, very little understanding of that and no interest in it in Silicon Valley for many years.
I mean, at some point, there was even a little bit of antipathy toward the government. I remember the story that Steve Jobs famously said that he didn't want to open up a Washington marketing operation for Apple because he didn't want to sell his computers to, as he put it, baby killers, although he was happy to start up resellers to do it on his behalf. How prevalent is that attitude still in the Valley, or was it ever?
Oh, it's been prevalent, and it still is prevalent to a large degree. And again, the reason for that, I think, Tom, is that most of the companies and most of the entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley have not focused at all on the federal government market. They've seen the next big thing, or their hoped ability to make billions of dollars as rapidly as they could on global commercial markets. They're much more consumer driven, and we've not had that kind of focus here in the Washington area. It's just been very different and a very different mindset.
Do you think that the Washington startup community and the environment for venture capital could stand a little bit of injection of Silicon Valley bravado, maybe?
Oh, I you and I've talked about this before. I said 20 years ago in an interview here in town that we needed more high-risk capital. We needed to have a flavor a little more like Silicon Valley. We needed venture capital that was willing to take a lot more risk and a lot more of it. So that's been one of our problems for a long time, and I'm still somebody who really thinks we need that and encourages it.
I mean, this is the last city where on 99-degree days, lawyers walk down the street with their jackets on and buttoned. I mean, even in Silicon Valley, if you go out dressed in a suit, they say, oh, you must be from East. And so, yeah, I guess it's business attitude, but also that's injected by culture.
It's very much injected by culture. And one of the things that struck me, Tom, and I really always think about that in the Valley, I never met in the over 30 years that I've dealt there, and I have come and gone between the Washington tech industry and the Valley for 30, 35 years. I never met a single CEO when I asked them, why did you start your company, who told me that they started it to help the United States of America. That's not a criticism. It's not a knock. Where here in the Washington area over the last 30 or 40 years, many of the CEOs of our great companies that we built here started it because they did want to help the United States of America. I've known them personally, and that's one of the reasons that they began their company. That's not the way Silicon Valley has ever viewed it, and I doubt that they ever will.
I guess if you're developing, say, new technology for the massive ordnance penetrator, for example, then clearly you understand that's not something that's going to be a mass market item or a high margin item, and yet it will help the government even as you make money with it.
That's exactly right. And I mean, if you're at Google or Facebook, and certainly they're interested in the federal market, Google seemingly much more than Facebook, you know, your interest today is how do we bring on the next 2 billion people across the globe onto the internet. And as far as they're concerned, that has little or nothing to do with anything that the federal government's interested in.
I guess it's probably optimistic that so many Silicon Valley executives, maybe after they've already made their money or their mark out there, seem happy to come to work here, at least for the Obama administration.
Well, it's seen from time to time as a glamorous thing to come to Washington. There's been some feeling in the Valley for years that, you know, if you came and worked at the White House or you worked in a major federal agency, that was kind of something you could talk about at cocktail parties. Now, I'm not saying that that's the current situation. More and more people, hopefully, from the Valley will come and get that kind of experience. But it's very rare that you found people from the Valley who had any interest in coming and living and working here in Washington.
And final question, do you think that with the continuing uncertainty over which way the budget will be going and the fact that there are pretty good tight limits on whatever happens in the budget, is that having a depressing effect on startup money for companies locally?
Oh, I think it probably is, Tom, because venture capitalists look for something that they think is going to be a big deal as rapidly as possible. And given the current environment the last 3-4 years with sequestration, tightened federal budgets, when you go into the Valley these days, which I do, there's really limited interest in Washington because they think it's an unstable environment to work in.
All right, so maybe a little bit of political, I don't know, sanity and stability on our part would make Washington more attractive to not just Silicon Valley, but to a lot of other areas where the headquarters are not here.
It certainly would, and I think the continuing budget deadlocks and the inability of our political system to solve long-term funding problems certainly adds to the problem of building technology companies no matter where they are in the country.
Michael Daniels is chairman of Invincia and of the Logistics Management Institute. Great having you on.
Thanks, Tom, as always. Good to talk to you.